Well, Dave, it's so good to be here this morning, and we are looking forward to this hour. It's going to be a very interesting hour. We're going to talk about some special ministry. And, you know, one of the highlights of what we do here at Your Network of Praise is that we have the opportunity to promote the work of other ministries and let people know what's going on in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to spend this hour on. And this one is going to be kind of a special time because the person we're going to be interviewing this morning is actually one of our own staff. It's our associate network manager, Carlene Prince. So we're looking forward to a very interesting hour.
Yes, absolutely. And she just happens to be sitting right here. Morning, Carlene.
This feels uncomfortable being talked about.
This is your life.
I'm going to be squirming for the next several minutes, I think.
Well, we just may make you squirm a little bit more because as we were arranging from this interview, we heard from a very special guy by the name of Terry. Name ring a bell?
Yes, that is my precious, precious daddy that I love so very much. My father, Terry. Yep.
Well, we're going to be talking about recording this hour. And Dave, Terry provided you with a very interesting recording.
Carlene and I had a conversation several weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And she mentioned to me that her dad had somewhere at home in his collection of cassette tapes a recording of Carlene at their church as a four-year-old. 4 years old, is that right?
Yeah, 4 years old. This was my very first solo.
He was kind enough to send that to us.
Wow.
So we have a little treat to start off this hour.
Well, I can't wait to hear this.
All right, well, here we go. Well, let's begin with the introduction from her dad, Carlene's dad.
I would like to bring out the final member of our family, Carlene, an active four-year-old who carried a tune when she was 2 years old and proudly sang her first memorized song, the Campbell Soup Song. Everything soup or not was good. Have you ever offered your whole self to the Lord? Not just your mind and soul, but your hands, your voice, and your heart. Carlene does in her song. Carlene?
It is, as we like to say in radio, one of our core artists. That is Carlene Prince at the tender age of four.
Wow.
Performing.
So much has changed in, what, the last 15 years, 10 years, something like that?
That's right.
God bless you for protecting my real age.
No, she just had a birthday recently, so we won't say anything about real age. But, you were 4 years old. Were you intimidated standing in front of that group?
To be honest, I don't remember, and I might have been a little bit, but it helped that actually this was a family concert that we did at a local firehouse, coffee house is what it was called. It's when the coffee houses were big and, you know, the Jesus music days in 70s
that
and 80s and that kind
were
of
in
thing.
Style.
Yes, yes, exactly. And it was basically a concert that my mom did it, and my mom has a gorgeous voice. It's a very different sounding voice than mine. She's kind of more classically trained in that kind of thing. But so she did the concert, and then my sister got to sing a solo, and I got to sing a solo. We had matching special dresses made, red with white polka dots. I still remember them. Little ruffle sleeves, and we looked adorable. But I think what I was most excited about was this coffee house served popcorn. They'd give you, one of those old-fashioned popcorn machines and the red and white striped bag, that was
I could smell it.
Exactly. So my dad told us again and again and again, but as we were driving to the venue, girls, you cannot eat your popcorn until your part of the concert's done. And it's, as a little kid, it seems like it takes forever to get to the middle section of the concert where your portion is. So we stood up there and we sang. And in fact, if you listen further to the recording, he says, "Now, girls, now you can have your popcorn." And we were out of there. We didn't care about the rest.
Wow.
That was funny.
So, yep. Well, we're so glad that your dad provided us with that cassette tape so that we
I haven't
could hear
decided
that.
Yet if I'm glad or not. But
well, Dave and I are. That's what counts.
Yes, that's right.
And we're glad. Well, the technology's changed. We aren't using cassettes anymore. And I'm glad the dress code has changed, too.
Just a little too much frill.
Red with white polka dots. Yeah, that's. I would make the office kind of weird, actually. But, well, we're here for a very important purpose, Carlene, because over the years, what kind of is a family heritage there of music and ministry mm-hmm. through music has continued in your life. And many of our audience already are aware you are a songwriter and you perform, you play keyboard, you sing, mm-hmm. and that's what we're here to talk about this time around, because right now you're in the middle of a project of doing a recording that's actually a step or two above a cassette machine and 19 whatever technology that would have been.
Yeah.
And we want to spend some time talking about that, because over the last several years, and in particular maybe the more recent few years, you've been given an increasing amount of opportunity to do music ministry.
Yeah, and I would say, other than I've sang on, worship teams pretty much all my life and enjoyed that form of ministry, but just really it's pretty much dials down to the last year exactly, where all of a sudden it just seems like invites continue to come. And I've been surprised that they're not just for music, they're also for speaking some. And in fact, I have just coming up here tomorrow. I actually leave for New Mexico for a special fundraising banquet for a Christian ministry. And that will be the first time that I've, traveled across the state as far as a long distance and to a place that I've never been before. But it's just, I say this with a little bit of intrepidation on my part, but it does seem to be like God seems to just, he's opening some doors, and there seems to be, I feel like I'm at a launching point at the moment. So, yeah.
Music is a very powerful part of ministry. Obviously, we devote a lot of time each day to right. playing music, because it isn't just entertainment, but in the lyrics of the music, there is such power to convey messages really concisely and from the heart in a very unique and powerful way. And as you mentioned, you're going to New Mexico here to do music ministry there. That's a banquet type event. There's going to be a congressman speaking, and then mm-hmm. you'll be doing your part of the program. And again, it's necessary to put that special touch into the evening.
Yeah. Yes, music does have a power. And, in fact, I can testify to that myself, because growing up in just some turbulent situations that surrounded my personal life and a lot of things I didn't understand as a child growing up, I remember we had a little house out in the country and we had this grove of trees that surrounded our house. And I would walk that grove almost every night with a little headset, a little Sony, tape machine and everything. And somebody introduced me to Amy Grant when that was the first contemporary Christian artist I had ever heard. And I'm guessing I was 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. But the Spirit of God through her music touched me deeply. And I can say to shorten up the testimony that God has used music to literally spare me, to keep my mind sane sometimes. You know, like all the stories that we hear here in radio, you know, the right song at the right time. And sometimes some of those songs were on repeat, you know, it mm-hmm. took forever on a tape to rewind it. But it was worth it because the message in a song, it's amazing what a 3 to 5 minute piece of music can do to keep your heart on track. Yeah. And so, yeah, I've experienced it. In fact, I was telling you before we started taping this, Roger, that just a few nights ago, I was watching the rebroadcast of the Dove Awards for this year, for the 2014 Dove Awards. And Amy Grant actually was getting ready to present an award, but she just kind of, you could see her stop in her tracks as she reflected for a moment. And she said this quote, I wrote it down. She said, you know, it's not a surprise to know that in the Bible times, in war times, they would send the musicians out first. And then she said this, she said, it's quite the place to be. And that statement just struck me. I mean, it's so counterintuitive. You'd think if you're going into war, you send out the brawn, you send out the strong men, you send out the warriors, you send out your biggest and your best. But there was somehow in the wisdom of God an importance to put the musicians first. There is something about praising your way through a situation. And that's something that's really becoming increasingly important on my heart to walk me through my own trials, but to also come into a corporate atmosphere where people can gather together in God's presence and in God's name, and we can see Him touch us collectively together as we enjoy the power of music, the power of worship. And it's just that whole analogy. There's a breakthrough praise. Yeah. That is just, it's humbling to get to know that this is what God's starting to stir and call me into. Because that's like Amy Grant said, that is quite the place to be.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about being in the settings like what you'll be in here in New Mexico in a few days, and whether it be at a church service where you're part of a worship team. But again, that opportunity to be together and to be worshiping and praising God is a fabulous thing, and you can see as we face the daily battles how that strengthens us and prepares us. But sometimes the battles that we face are when we're all alone. We might be driving down the highway mm-hmm. late at night, and we're not going to have those people around, and that's where recorded music becomes the key. And we hear time and time again, of course, people listening to your network of praise late at night or any time of the day, how often God reaches out to them through a song that's played on the air when they are by themselves. But as you've been out and done music ministry and been part of worship teams and so forth, there have been times when people have asked you, when they've heard you sing one of your own original songs, can I get a CD of that? Is there one available? And the answer has always been, no.
At this point, not yet.
Yeah. But the importance of having a CD, because it is a very important ministry tool to have that recorded music available, mm-hmm. That is something that now in recent days is actually ramping up in your life. What happened that finally put that on the front burner for you?
Oh, well, this is a story that just moves me just because it's so personal to me. First of all, I've always had the desire to record. And I'm going to be just very honest and transparent and say, when I was introduced to Amy Grant as a child, I wanted her life. I wanted to be her. Not only did I love her music, but I thought she was beautiful. I thought, what a life she must have and lead to, you know, get to do this. And I was very attracted to the whole Nashville idea and getting to be a, you know, a top edge cutting artist and all that kind of thing. And, you know, maybe this is some of the stories that I'll get to share from stages I go to, you know, different places to start now kind of on this ministry. But there's about two or three key points in my journey where God revealed to me that all my life, the one gift I knew I had was singing. I had low self-esteem and didn't really believe I had anything else to present. But music was the one thing that I knew I could do well. And every time I did it, I'd get attention. And so when you take a young woman with low self-esteem and, you know, knowing her God to some degree, but, you know, as we're all young, we mature in Him. So not knowing God as much as I needed to at that point in my life, you start to take that attention and that feedback and it becomes very intoxicating. And it's almost like a drug. You live for the next time that you can get applause or that you can get a pat on the back or you can get told how awesome you are. And so there were two or three key points along the way where God was very clear and basically said, this is your Isaac. And He had to test my heart. And he asked if I would lay it down, just like Abraham had to, you know, almost sacrifice Isaac. And one time I remember very clearly, he said, I want you to cancel everything on your calendar. Any, you know, things for friends that I had been asked to do, singing for weddings or funerals or whatever. And he said, take all of it off your calendar, get off your worship team. I had to go to my pastor and say, I'm sorry, but God said I can't do this for a season. And God said, I want you to sit on the back row, and you're to be in church every single Sunday in the back where nobody can see you, where you're not getting any applause, where you're completely out of the limelight. And I want you to learn how to worship me just for the sake of worship, not worship for applause, not worship for attention. And it was really hard for me to do that. But there were two or three key points where every time I did that, it seemed like, you know, and I had no idea how it was going to end. I had no idea if he'd ever let me sing again in front of people. You know, so it's hard to do that when you don't know the outcome. But through the process of dying to self and learning to trust him, then I would see it come back around. And every time it seemed like it came back to me in a greater and a greater capacity. And so it's been quite the journey. And you asked about how this got started. So, you know, I would say that's the first important piece, is that God had to change my character to handle what was coming. I didn't know at the time that that's the process he was doing. But basically last spring, in the spring of 2013, I have a friend who co-owns a recording studio in my hometown in South Dakota. And he called me up and he said, are you coming back anytime soon for a visit to the family? Because he actually is an incredible musician of his own right. And he's been trying to write some songs recently to get published, which means they get pitched to people who do TV shows and, you know, commercials and movie soundtracks and all that kind of thing. So he's been trying to really focus on his songwriting to get some of those songs picked up and recognized. And he said, I wrote these two songs and they were written for you. They totally need your voice on them. So he said, could we set up a trade? Could we barter? And, you know, if you come into the studio for a few hours, record these songs for me, I'll give you equal time for yourself to use for whatever. And I thought, well, that's great, because over the last few years especially, I feel like I have songs coming out of my ears. I mean, there's been so many. And because I have very little time to practice, I don't remember how they go half the time. Even though I'm the one that writes them, I can kind of forget, you know, how they are supposed to sound. So if I thought, well, that'd be great, because I can just go in and lay these songs down just as what we call a scratch track demo, just literally, you know, rough, raw recording. So at least I can remember how some of these songs go if I ever need to kind of relearn them or re-pick them back up again. And so in October of last year, I went in and we spent a couple of days together, and I worked on his songs and then we worked on mine. And I had three songs that we had time to lay down. So it's just me on piano and that's it. And no fancy editing, no fancy mixing, no effects added to the vocals, just, you know, the raw basics. And we were getting ready to part ways and say goodbye, and I was ready to walk out the door. And there was, I can't explain it other than just feeling like God was tapping me on the shoulder. And he said, Carlene, he said, the time is now. And I just, my heart started to come out of my chest, pounding so hard, because I wasn't sure what that meant. And so I started asking him, I said, is this really you? Am I really hearing this right? And he said, I want you to do it here and I want you to do it now. Well, then the wrestling and the arguing started, because I said, well, God, this doesn't make any sense. I don't have any personal money to put towards this. It will be an incredibly expensive venture to take under. Plus, I have, you know, we have very wonderful, capable recording studios right here in Montana. In fact, I've been asked that by people. How come you're not doing this locally? And the only response I had is that God said, first of all, this producer and engineer that works at the studio's name is Scott. And God said, I'm choosing Scott because he needs this. You need this. And this is actually going to be about the relationships, because God's all about people. That's where his heart is at. And he said, I want you to do it here because there's going to be God stories and there's going to be just things that happen within the relationships of the people that come to become involved in this, that you're going to see my hand at work. And he also said, Carlene, anytime I've done anything in your life, when has it ever been according to man's logic? You know, the Bible says his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So, you know, it makes sense to me, you know, on a stewardship principle financially, to do it locally where I don't have to have travel expenses involved. But I know that God knows what he's doing. And when his heart is attached to an outcome and a purpose for a certain person, then that, you know, obedience needs to follow, because he knows what he's doing with the people involved. So I looked to my friend Scott and I said, well, here's the deal. Let me just tell you about this little mini conversation I had with my Heavenly Father, and he felt it was as crazy as I did. I mean, he said, why? Why would you do that? Why would you come all the way to South Dakota to take care of this? And I told him the reasons that God had said, and I said, I just need to verbally say this out loud to you, because if I don't say it out loud, I'm not going to be committed. I'm not going to follow through. I'm very bad at that. So we made the commitment, and he said, okay. And then I gave him the warning. I said, you have to know this. You know, I'm lucky if I get to come home for 1 or 2 weeks max per year to come visit my family and to get to be here to do that. And I said, I could just project in my mind's eye. I could see this being a 10-year project, because since I only have a week at a time to come back home or whatever. And here's the amazing thing about God is when he says it's time for something, he really means it, because I believe there's a spirit of urgency and acceleration that gets added to the project. And in less than a year, God has 100% funded, and I mean to the dime. I've gone back 5 times, 5 trips, and close to $10,000 has already been funded for this project. And it's been without solicitation. I've just told a few friends, and more just a, hey, would you pray? Because God seems to be working. And then they wanted to know more details, so I would tell them some of the details. And again, not me asking, would you pray about giving to this? Would you pray about funding this? Just asking for overall prayer cover. And Roger, I've been consistently met with the same response. People got so excited by the things that they heard that God is doing behind the scenes that they said, not only will I pray, I have to be part of this. And you have to know about me. I'm a giver, and I love to serve. My biggest joy in life is lifting somebody else up. It's been very hard for me to learn to be the recipient. That's a very uncomfortable place for me to be. So this whole thing has been a very humbling journey, but I know the Father, and I know his wisdom, and he knows what he's doing. And I had a wrestling match with him just last week. I was having a doubt period about all of this. And I said, God, what if this doesn't work? This is going to be so humiliating if I go through all this effort. You know, here I am bragging on you and everything you're doing. And as wonderful as the journey's been already to this point in time, what if it doesn't work? And I about broke down when he said to me, but Carlene, what if it does? And you're never going to know if you stop at this part in the journey. And that's what his call is to every single one of us. Will you trust me? Will you follow? Will you obey? Even if it's hard on your flesh, even if it's got some very unglamorous, unromantic parts attached to it, even if you're completely unsure of yourself, I'm sure of what I'm doing because I'm God and I'm sufficient. So it's been an amazing journey and story. And I'm so excited to say we are just getting started.
Mm-hmm. But from that time in October of 2013, when you realized now was the time that God was opening the doors, as you said, you've been back 5 times. That's enabled you to record several tracks. You've had, of course, many other musicians as part of that. Yeah. Scott has done a lot of hours mixing and editing and doing all kinds of things to bring this along. And of course, it's not yet completed, but we do have some songs we're going to share this hour. The first one is called You Love Me, and we want to play that one right now. Tell us a little bit. This is the current edit. He's got it prepared to a point, and that's what we're going to be sharing.
Yep, this is a rough mix. You need to know that the mixing isn't finished on all these songs, but we wanted to give you an idea of what God is doing. Yeah. And so this is the first song, You Love Me, and I just wrote this after listening to a podcast of two gentlemen, and they were talking about our fears and how they trap us and how we try to be self-sufficient. We lie on our own understanding or rationale, and what we forget is the simple truth, God loves me. He loves me enough to see me through. He loves me enough to give me a breakthrough when I need it. He loves me enough to see me through to the other side. So this is the song, You Love Me.
It's been one of those hours and one of those days and maybe even across those years. When the fear walls begin to control, slips my grasp and the heat of the flame starts to sear. I apply rationale in the midst of uncertainty, and I rely on my own reality instead. I'm compelled to compete for space to win this battle in my head. It says you